Welcome back. It's episode 43 of Canberra Conversations with your host, Colin Campbell. Excuse the slightly nasal tones that are coming to you in this introduction, but thankfully the rest of this episode was recorded well in advance of being struck down by this ailment. Today's conversation is with Manny De La Cruz of Well Built Style, and we are discussing how to dress well and fashionably as a guy that lifts. If you, like me, are somebody that has built a little bit of muscle and still wants to dress to a fashionable extent and look their best, then this episode will add a lot of value as we discuss some of the key mistakes that guys make when it comes to dressing well, and lots of the different things that we can consider in order to dress well as somebody that is well built. Alongside that, we also discussed the concept of an ugly man being handsome, which was certainly an interesting conversation for me that I'd also heard Manny discuss previously, so it was great to explore that on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to hearing what your feedback is, whether you are a guy that needs to work on their style game and present themselves as best as possible, or perhaps you are a female listener and your boyfriend, partner, brother, whoever you're friends with needs to get on this and dress a little bit better as well, then you can benefit too. Without any further ado, let's dive right into episode 43. Hello folks, welcome back to another episode of Canberra Conversations, and today we are talking about how to dress well even as you start to build a little bit of muscle and be somebody that trains and is well built. In order to do that, we are joined by Manny De La Cruz from Well Built Style. Manny, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Colin.
As you can hear, guys, some dulcet tones from the other side of the Atlantic. We're joined from Canada by Manny today. And for those that haven't heard of you before or been lucky enough to follow this Twitter page of yours or your Instagram, Manny, can you give the listeners a little bit of a background?
Yeah, for sure. So I started Well Built Style about 7 years ago, in around, I think, 2013. Started really off as just a little blog website. And I got interested in style a couple of years prior to that. I had, you know, got my first sort of real career or job. And I knew I wanted to, you know, upgrade my style at that time. And so I was building my own style and I learned a lot. And then I had my own challenges too, you know, being someone who's physically fit and active and just trying to find clothes that fit well and look good on a more athletic body was a challenge. And so I started the site as a way to kind of, you know, help other guys that were kind of in the same boat. And I've been doing that for, you know, 7 years. And then I got more and more interested in Twitter about a couple of years ago, really promoting my content and sharing some value with a bunch of readers that way, and kind of spun that off into a bit of a consulting, part-time consulting gig as well. So I've been focusing a lot of my time on Twitter as my main social media and really sharing content with a bunch of readers. And it's been fantastic kind of journey over the last 7 years, and interested to see where it goes in the future.
That's fantastic. And I think from my initial discovery of you just a few weeks ago through another podcast on the Danny Miranda Show, which was an excellent episode, I straight away resonated with so much of what you said, but equally the kind of general aim of your page with regards to, yes, you've built a little bit of muscle now, you're muscular, you've got an athletic trained physique. It doesn't mean that you can get away with dressing terribly, but equally it actually means that we can get away with a little bit less as well when it comes to formal wear. So it's a funny, and a lot of listeners in fitness space hate the term balance, and I do too, but there is a balance to be struck between how we present ourselves. So there's so much that we can dive into in that respect. And I guess the first thing is, you mentioned that this sits as a side project that you're incredibly passionate about. How do you find the time to, over the years, to build such a strong platform, 7 years now going strong alongside your full-time gig? I mean, a lot of the listeners will know that this is a side hustle for me as well. So I think a lot of people will be interested in how you build it into your day.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is, I mean, I'm you know, it's something that I really do enjoy and I really do love. And so I have a passion for it. And I mean, that's, you know, probably what's kept me going over the years. But I think it's just a little consistency, you know. I'm not doing, you know, especially when I first started out, it was just, you know, maybe I'll write a post a week kind of thing and squeeze it in between, you know, when I'm working and that sort of stuff. And on the weekends, you know, do a little bit here and there. And that consistency builds and it becomes a habit, right? And for me, I think it's been so ingrained doing this over so many years that it's just become a part of my life, sharing this aspect of what I like and enjoy. So I think it's really just about integrating it into your lifestyle, because, you know, people have different goals and aspirations and different interests, and you got to kind of figure out how you're going to fit that in there. And for me, it's just about being consistent, even if you're just doing a little bit here and there, right? I mean, you got your main gig or your main job, that's going to be your main focus. But it's taking that a little bit of extra time in the evening, maybe just an hour, right? Like just an hour to write a blog post, or, you know, do something on Instagram or whatever platform. It might not even be like on the internet. It could be something else, right? And just taking a little bit of that time back and investing it into another interest of yours, I think it'll compound over time. And that's kind of how it's worked and played out for me.
There's a few different phrases you used in that monologue there, Manny, that really resonate with a lot of the listeners. And the first of those, and the last one of the last you said, was compounding. And it's those small efforts over time that add up. We talk a lot about finance in the podcast. We've spoken about the wonders of compound interest when it comes to investing. But when it comes to efforts, like you say, those small consistent efforts that you've invested over the years and those little daily actions you've taken to build up what is now a really credible website and resource for people who want to dress better as an athletic trained guy, it's all added up. But it didn't happen.
Yes.
It didn't happen because you had a burst of inspiration for a couple of weeks during 2013. I mean, that might have started you, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't keep you going. And I guess the other thing you said is habits. Atomic Habits is one of the books that a lot of the listeners have read off the back of some of the podcasts that we've had. And James Clear is an incredible author as well as creator. And I think he actually follows your Instagram, Manny, if you didn't know that.
Yes, yeah, I know him very well. He's a good guy. Yeah,
you're amongst friends here then in terms of James Clear fans. When you speak about habits, like you say, your habit after work for an hour is to maybe write a blog or to post on Instagram or share content or engage in content. Maybe somebody else's habit is to watch an hour of Netflix. You've just chosen to invest your energy and create a habit which is moving you closer towards perhaps where you want to be.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's the big key for me. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, like I don't really watch television anymore. Like I just don't really have the time because I have other interests that are filling those time blocks for me.
Yeah.
And you know, and you don't have to be as extreme as myself. You know, I'm busy, I'm married, I have a kid as well, and I have all these other things going on in my life. But you know, you got to look and maybe just even audit your week, right? Write down what you're doing every day, just chunk out your hours and just see where you're losing time. Because, you know I was losing time, you know, just mindlessly browsing the internet, or, you know, I'd watch maybe a couple hours of television every night or something like that. You can get that time back, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you don't have to turn into like the super efficient, every hour, every minute of your day is just towards, you know, your goals and that's it. And you have no time for anything else. It's, you know, let's just say you take 50% of that time that is, you know, dead time. You're just scrolling around the internet or you're doing really nothing. If you just take even 50% of that time and invest it towards, I don't know, you want to reshape your body or you want to, you know, take a course that might improve your career or start a business or whatever the case is, even if you just take 50% of that time, that's going to make a big change for you over maybe not a week or 2 weeks or a month or 2 months, but over 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. It's going to make a huge difference in your life and in your goals.
Yeah, that message, something that speaks massively to me, and I'm sure many of the people listening will hit that, will feel that as well, because like you say, it's that allocation and direction of how you spend your time being purposeful towards something that you care about. And I guess one of the other strands of what you were speaking about was your enjoyment from writing and creating content. And I certainly found that as I was creating fitness content primarily on Instagram, when I started the Instagram page, it was nice to have an outlet about writing from something apart from insurance corporate risk management. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy that. Otherwise, I still wouldn't be in there. But having an outlet to write about something else and sharing it with people, even if it hadn't got thousands of followers, which it has ended up with, I enjoyed the process of sharing that. And I think you can see from your content and the fact that you're so consistent over this period of time that the level of enjoyment is a big factor in you producing that, I suppose.
Totally, it is. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I didn't enjoy it, right? I'll be honest, it's not like every day I'm like super fired up to write this blog post or whatever it is. There's days where you're like, oh, you know, I'd rather do something else, but I know it's important enough to me that I'm going to do it. And the satisfaction I get from, you know, completing whatever it is that I'm doing, whatever project I'm on, I feel so good that that's another aspect that kind of keeps me going too, right? Is seeing myself, you know, make that progress, right? And kind of tick the boxes and say, oh, wow, okay, I've done this, I've done that. And that there, just looking back and seeing your progress in that from that perspective, that itself gives me more fuel too to keep going as well. So
yeah,
there's different levels kind of all mixed in there. Yeah,
there's a lot of different levels to that, like you say, Manny, and I think one of those is that reward feedback that you're seeking, that kind of loop of I complete this habit, I do the, for example, turning up on the days when you don't want to and producing the blog out of habit, because on Tuesdays I always write a blog, and knowing that later down the line that you're rewarded, because there'll be days when you turn up and you're like, I want to write two or three posts, or I've got some brilliant ideas I want to share. Whereas the days when you don't maybe feel it and you still do it, that's incredibly important, because we've just spoken about compound interest. You get the reward of knowing that you're a man of your word and you're following up on things that are important to you. So I think there's lots within that section, even if people aren't interested in being content creators and fitting that in within their full-time occupation alongside that, we're talking to you about where you can direct your energy, and it's clear that Manny's directed it into a place that's fulfilled him but also led to maybe an additional revenue stream and a level of enjoyment as well.
For sure, totally.
So let's dive right into the nuts and bolts of the topic, I suppose, when it comes to how men who are well built should style themselves. What are the most common mistakes that you see from guys? And I'm sure I can share a few that I probably made myself as well.
It's interesting. I mean, there's, you know, a few big, you know, kind of more common mistakes that I think about. The first, believe it or not, is wearing oversized clothes. Even as someone who is, you know, in shape and fit, there's still a tendency for guys, maybe it's more of a common trend here in North America than it is in Europe, but it's a trend nonetheless. And it's for guys to wear stuff that's one or two sizes too big. And, you know, for myself, you know, being someone who's more athletically built, you know, it took me a while to realize that I'm actually not a size large in the US for most stuff. I'm a medium, even though I'm, you know, 6 feet tall, 185 pounds and sort of an athletic muscular build. You'd think, oh no, I'm a big guy, I can wear large, you know, I should be wearing large coats and jackets and so forth. But here it's just not the case. It's, you know, I'm a medium. It looks better on me. It's more fitted. It gives me a better aesthetic. It gives me better lines, et cetera, et cetera. And that's one of the big issues I see with, you know, guys that are fit, is just wearing stuff that's a little bit too baggy. And that's just an issue I see with guys in general. Some other issues I see is guys kind of defaulting to a lot of their, I guess, their athleisure or gym wear for their everyday kind of casual looks.
Yep.
You see that a lot. So guys are wearing their Under Armour hoodies with their jeans, you know, or their gym trainers out with their jeans as like a casual look. And it's just their gym style starts to really creep into their style in general, you know, if whatever, regardless of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not trying to knock athleisure looks. There's a good way to do athleisure looks. But what I'm talking about specifically here is actually wearing functional training gear with, like, you know, your jeans or your chinos or what have you, and trying to pull that off as like a casual look. It doesn't work. And I see that a lot as well.
Yeah.
Sorry, Manny.
On the first point around oversized, I think you're right. I don't think it's as much of a trend in Europe. However, for the kind of semi-bodybuilding style crowd, there is quite a trend towards oversized t-shirts. And we have a style, it's probably got a different term maybe in the States, long line. So very much that kind of,
yes,
fitted on the arms, but very long on the body. In fact, in yes. America, one of the big kind of fitness influencers, Christian Guzman, is a big advocate of that kind of long line look with his company Alphalete. And for me, I'm 5'10" and by no means really short.
Yeah.
But if I wear long line and it's oversized, I look like I've maybe never lifted weight in my life. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. It's not right for your proportions, right? It's not giving you the correct look, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's quite common as well, to kind of see that. Although sometimes it can look okay in a taller guy, that kind of oversized tee not hanging off the shoulders, but over the shoulders, looser on the body, with kind of maybe tighter jeans or trousers, which looks a bit more aesthetic when you're a bit taller. But I think when you're 6 foot and under and well built with kind of a V taper, you're doing yourself a little bit of a disservice with a kind of looser, like really loose looking t-shirt that isn't, or hoodie that isn't fitted to your shape.
For sure. And I agree. And I think it is, there are differences, you know, on average. I mean, in Europe, guys do tend to dress a little bit better than your average American, which is, you know, more or less a nightmare. And so there's differences there. And I mean, you know, and I'm being honest about it. And I think the other issue, and we kind of, I think, touched on it a little bit prior to jumping online here, is wearing stuff that's a little too fashionable, a little too trendy. Like, you know, if you're in shape, that's your biggest asset right there, your physique. And you really don't need a, you know, quote unquote, dress up in order to really look good. You know, you could a fitted plain t-shirt and really good quality jeans, maybe some boots, something like that. You're going to look better than basically, you know, any out of shape business exec wearing his $2,000 suit. You know, like, it's that the fact that you're already in really good shape is probably the number one kind of factor in your look. And you don't really need to go, you know, overboard with the fashionable, the big printed graphic tees or the luxury branded stuff. You don't really need to go down that route. You can simplify things, go a little more understated, and pull off a great look that way.
I think that makes so much sense from what you sometimes see, where when you are in better shape, like you say, your physique is very much a status symbol already, and you don't necessarily need to overdo everything around it. So sometimes you can wear a plain t-shirt that's well fitted and more people will be like, oh, it's a great t-shirt. Whereas if your friend was wearing that who's 2 stone overweight and got a kind of soft body, nobody would bat an eyelid at the fact the t-shirt was maybe had a small pony on it, and that's,
yeah, exactly.
Or the other way, like you say, that those kind of really loud in your face graphic t-shirts, there's not as much need to have that when you've got maybe a bicep vein and some good forearms.
Vascularity is the menswear accessory, you know, for the fit man. And so I totally on board with that. And it just going understated, letting the physique do the heavy lifting, no pun intended, for your look is the way to go, right?
Of course. You mentioned about the athletic wear creeping into the casual look. I don't think that's as common for guys of our age in Europe, in the UK. I do think there is a tendency to walk around in all gym wear. So
yeah.
Head to toe in your gym kit at all times. And don't get me wrong, during this COVID period, I've probably been more guilty of that just based from working at home a lot of the time. You kind of you're a bit more comfortable in sweats or joggers and a hoodie. But I certainly think, like you say, when that starts to creep into your style overall, you're almost going too much the other way in terms of, like we've said, guys with great physiques can dress quite casual, but there's like a level of casual. It's like t-shirt and jeans, decent enough shoes, and you're in a good spot. Whereas walking around in your Under Armour full kit at all times is
a little too vibe. Cash, yeah.
Exactly that. Are there any other mistakes that guys that lift tend to make? I guess talking about trendy.
Yeah, those are the big ones. I mean, you can also say with fit, it's, you know, especially when guys are first starting out and learning how to improve their style. And this is an issue I had, was going a little too slim fitting. You know, when I was first starting getting into style, the slim ties and the slim lapels on your jackets, all that was kind of the rage. It just, for certain physiques, but really muscular physiques, it's not something that's going to work too well. It's just not going to, you know, balance out with your proportions. Thankfully, that sort of trend is kind of gone by the wayside a little bit these days. But that's the other issue, is being mindful of just the fit of the actual clothing that you're wearing. You're going to have more challenges in that regard. And that's where things like a good tailor will come in handy.
Yeah, I think we're speaking about suits there, aren't we, with regards to the thin lapels and thin ties. I've certainly seen that trend. And I think, like you say, thankfully, it's going a little bit out of style. But when you're a more well-built guy, and I saw one of the examples you gave on your website is Will Smith, when it came to him in his suit, to look powerful with his kind of strong, wide upper body, wearing a thin lapel suit or a skinny tie just doesn't look right. It just looks like it kind of brings his proportions out of shape. Whereas when he's got that kind of wider breast, kind of wider lapels, wider collar, thicker knotted tie, he just looks a lot more masculine, I suppose, and a lot more powerful, which fits how he's built as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the skinny lapels and the skinny tie on a big muscular, it looks like you're wearing like a suit out of the junior section or something, right? Like it's an undersized suit. It just doesn't fit it, right? So going with more of a traditional width on the lapel or a little bit wider, and same with the ties and stuff, it's more in proportion, more in line with how your physique is built, and it'll just look more flattering on you.
You mentioned that you've probably started to get into this space in terms of understanding your style and wanting to be more focused on it as somebody who just kind of started their first, and we'll call it, real job in terms of maybe dressing for work. Was that a suit-based job where you had to turn up in a suit?
It was more business casual, so it wasn't a suit environment, but you definitely, you know, you wanted to wear, you know, nicer trousers or collared shirt, you know, dress shoes, that sort of thing. So kind of like your standard business casual environment. And that's what kind of, you know, led me into improving my style, was wanting to really put together a more polished look from what I was actually seeing in the workplace.
Interestingly, you've said around how trends have changed over the years, like you say. So for example, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a lot of people that were going to a wedding or a formal event would have been like, oh, skinny ties are cool. But now, thankfully, that's gone out of fashion. You've mentioned other trends that maybe guys who lift can't take part in as much, such as kind of skinnier stuff. And I certainly know there's certain pairs of jeans that I just can't wear because it'll look like I'm wearing leggings. And then, but then there's other times that I don't want to wear, like I certainly can't get away with boot cut because I don't like my ankles kind of being drowned by the jeans. What's your kind of approach to trousers, firstly for jeans, but then secondly for suits? I'd be interested to hear as well.
Yeah, so first, you know what, with trousers, I have a different fit for the different type of trousers I wear. So for like a jean, I just like a nice slim fitted jean with a slight taper in the leg opening, not a skinny jean, which is, you know, a really extreme taper that's like pasted to your calves. There's got to be a little bit of room there for me, and it'll give you a nice slim cut that just really looks quite classic. And I always recommend guys have a nice pair of dark, you know, if you can get raw selvage denim jeans, that's, you know, really the best. Those are great. And that's kind of, for jeans, my look is to go with that slim sort of cut. With chinos, it's very similar, maybe a little bit more of a taper with my chinos, just because the last thing I want is to give that, because chinos, khaki chinos have just, you know, they're in menswear, you just kind of, they're synonymous with kind of your typical office wear, baggy, and so you don't want to give that vibe off. I like a slim fit on those. With my trousers, I'm more inclined to go a little bit classic with that. With, you know, even the break on my trousers, I know a lot of guys are into the super no extreme, no break. You're showing a lot of ankle, your socks, that sort of look.
Yeah.
But I actually like more of a slight break over the shoe, a little bit more classic that way. Cause if you're going to spend some money on a really good suit, which I recommend, you want to really focus on a more of a classic aesthetic with that suit, because you know, if you're going to spend $1,000, $2,000 on a suit, you want to be at least, you know, wear it for at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And so if you stick with more of a classic cut and fit and with the detailing, you're going to get a lot more longevity out of that suit versus a super trendy suit with like the, you know, super no break trousers. Right. So that's kind of how I do it for myself personally, but really with, when it comes to the fit of your trousers, it really depends on the style of trousers, of course your physique, and then what you personally like, right? I mean, some guys really do like the skinny jean look, especially the younger guys out there with their street inspired looks. It'll work really well. Some guys with more of a rugged aesthetic, they like a little bit more of a straight fit on their jeans because they like to wear boots and that sort of thing. So it also does depend on the actual personal aesthetic as well.
I like that message. And I think one of the things that you were almost alluding to there was it depends sometimes what shoes you're wearing with the trousers as well. Because like you say,
yes,
if you're wearing boots, you're not going to wear skinny jeans that are like taped to your ankle. Like I've maybe worn my kind of skinniest jeans where I'm wearing like an ultra boost or a kind of more trainery vibe, or maybe like a kind of driving loafer sometimes, depending on like what I'm going for. But as I've got older, and you mentioned that there around younger listeners, will be much more inclined to have that kind of skinnier look, because it does look more youthful. It looks more I think youthful would probably be the best term, whereas I think as you're a little bit older, maybe a little bit more rugged or mature,
yes,
you probably want to transfer a little bit more away and have that kind of slim cut where it sits nicely. It doesn't break over the shoe as it does for a suit or a formal trouser. But you certainly move towards that. And I like your comment around chinos as well, because I think here, if people are thinking chinos, sometimes they're thinking like going to the golf course with it overlapping over your big white golf shoe. And that's not what you're going for at all. You're going for something that's a little bit more, I don't want to say trendy or fashionable, but a little bit more clean cut when it comes to like that kind of sitting just above the ankle rather than over the shoe. So what's to unpack there? And I think I've certainly followed your logic when it comes to the suits as well, because I don't think in a corporate environment primarily, and most functions, I'm not a huge fan of the look where the suit is short of the ankle. I think that's here today, but it should hopefully be gone tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's again, it's trends, right? You see that you know, come and go, right? And now you're actually starting to see, you know, it used to be don't wear pleated, you know, suit trousers, right? Like you want flat front suit trousers. And now you're starting to see pleats come back. And especially for guys that are in really good shape, they got big, massive glutes and quads and that sort of thing. Like one or two pleats is actually almost necessary for a suit trouser. It'll actually drape way better. You won't get this pocket flaring going on and some other issues with the trouser. And so even having one pleat and still keeping the trousers, you know, trim and slim in their cut, it's going to look really nice on a person that's has more of an athletic build.
I think so. And so many guys will be screaming into their AirPods just now to say, what about suit trousers? You've mentioned they should sit over your shoe, but I just can't get them to fit my quads and my glutes. I guess I'll share my approach, and you mentioned the tailor already, Manny, but I'd be really keen to hear you as well in terms of what you recommend.
Yeah, I for that, especially with suit trousers, myself, I got to go made to measure, custom. You know, the other thing you can do with those is make sure, you know, size up in the waist a little bit, because if you size up in the waist proportionally, there'll be more room in the legs, in the quads and in the glutes. So you'll probably get a better fit there. And then what you'll want to do is go to a tailor and have them bring in the waist, because you'll have a trimmer waist, and that should give you a better look, and you'll have less of an issue with, you know, that tight, constricting fabric around your quads. But personally myself, I've, with my suit trousers, I go bespoke or made to measure, and that way I can actually get a fit that's perfect for my proportions, because I do have bigger legs and a smaller waist. And I've found it very much a challenge to be able to walk into a store and grab something off the rack, especially with suit trousers or something like that, or a nicer pair of trousers, and be able to put them on and just walk out the store and be like, hey, these are perfect. It's always, I got to size up a little, they go to the tailor, bring them in. And I know it's a little bit of work, but that little bit of work pays off in terms of the overall look that you'll get with those trousers or with any garment.
This is exactly where my head's at, Manny, and I'm glad you've maybe reinforced my approach. I'm not made to measure yet. Obviously, I'll hopefully hit my bonus this year and we can get involved in that. But but I think when it comes to buying suits, for the last 3 or 4 years since my legs have seen the kind of most significant development, I can't buy off the rack suits. I have to go for the waist size up. So I'm maybe a 28 or 30 waist. I've got an absolutely tiny waist. And I'll have to either get a 32, and then, like I say, I've got a pretty decent tailor in Glasgow who will bring the waist in, and they can sometimes bring the seam in as well to make sure it kind of sits right.
Yes.
But I've got so much more room in the quads. I don't think I'm going to burst them every time I put something in my pocket.
Yes.
or I bend down to pick up a pen. I'm a lot more comfortable, but also because they are still in a kind of a slim fit or a straight fit trouser, it still sits nicely along the rest of my leg. And effectively, I've just modified it, and it's a small price to pay to a tailor to make you still have a suit that fits you. Because if you maybe went into a more classic fit or a more kind of relaxed fit suit, you get that kind of wider finish at the bottom that you see 40, 50, 60-year-olds in your office.
Yeah,
it's not totally what you guys are after at all.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess one of the other things we mentioned around trends and styles is the kind of likelihood that guys that lift can't follow it quite to the letter. Like you said, we can't maybe go quite as skinny, we can't go quite as extreme. Is there any other areas that we can't go as extreme? I know you've spoken on your website about maybe white shoes as well.
Sorry, the white shoes?
Yeah, so you spoke about wearing a pair of kind of white trainers on the site. Is there an element of people that can get away with that and can't get away with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with trainers there, I mean, again, it depends on the style of trainer you're actually, you know, considering versus, you know, you can have a really nice, I think basically any guy can wear a really nice low top leather, you know, leather lined, full grain leather sneaker, similar to like a Common Projects type sneaker. That type of sneaker is very classic. That's something most guys can pull off for a variety of different looks. It doesn't have to be just your, you know, street type looks. It could be a smart, clean, casual look with some chinos. You can even wear a shoe like that. It's a little bit more fashionable, a little bit more trendy right now with like some nice suit trousers as well. So when it comes to that, most guys can wear that. The only issue I would have with something like that is considering maybe age would play into it a little bit. More of a mature man might not want to wear something like that. And I always, you know, when I talk to readers or clients or what have you that are a little bit more mature, you know, I always offer, you know, a light gray option as an alternative to something like that to a classic white sneaker. But something like a low top white sneaker, full grain leather, that style is something any guy can pull off more or less. That's a classic look for sure.
Yeah, it's fairly timeless. And I did like the example you gave on your site where it was jeans, shorts, chinos, that kind of gray suit trouser with the white low top trainer is really fashionable at the moment as well, like you said. And it's quite a clean look for formal, but also kind of you're kind of also showing that you're not dressing up to the nines or dressing up too over the top for an event like that. And I think it cycles back to that point around guys that have excellent physiques can turn up looking like that and still look respectful and well-dressed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
One of the other areas I've probably enjoyed reading and hearing you speak about the most is the concept of how ugly men can become handsome. And on reflection, that must have been the kind of most rapt that I've been in a podcast for a 10-minute spell for a long, long time. It definitely hit me, and I'm sure it'll hit the listeners. Where does this concept come from, and can you share it a little bit with us?
Yeah, I think it just comes from my personal life, really. I mean, you know, any guy will probably nod along when I say this. I mean, we all know of guys that are conventionally not very good looking people in the face, but the way they carry themselves, their demeanor, their attitude, the confidence, you know, the way they dress, the way they speak. All those things are giving us strong signals that this is a good-looking guy, and you know, other people react in a similar fashion. And so it's from my personal life. I know guys that kind of fit that mold, and you know, and I started talking about it on Twitter, and I ended up writing a little article, I think, on it as well, and it really resonated with the readership. And really, it comes down to, you know, just a handful of points, right? Like, you know, get yourself in really good shape, right? You know, get that physique on point. Your basic hygiene and grooming, very simple stuff. I'm not telling guys to go and get manicures or pedicures or all that kind of stuff. Just your basic hygiene, you know, get your style, upgrade that style, get a style that works for you and your personality and your aesthetic. And then it's the attitude, right? There really is such a thing as a handsome man's demeanor. You know, they're, you know, emotionally cool, non-reactive, they're calm, they're confident people, they're positive, you know, they're aggressive in an action oriented sort of way, and they're ambitious as well, right? So those factors are what really I think make a guy quote unquote handsome. It's not necessarily that you're actually born with the movie star looks, right? Like the Brad Pitts and the George Clooney's. I mean, even in movies, you'll know guys that are conventionally are not very good looking guys, but because they have all these other factors working in their favor, they, you know, they become good looking. And I think, you know, someone like Daniel Craig is a good example. I mean, you look at some of his older movies, he's not really a very, you know, good looking striking guy, but as soon as he landed that Bond role, he transformed himself, not just the physique, but just the style, you know, the grooming, all that stuff. And he really became like a leading man once he starred in those movies. But prior to that, he wasn't really much of anything. And there's lots of examples that we can probably run through, but that's kind of in a nutshell, that whole ugly, handsome thing that I've been talking about for a little while now.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of the concept, and I can certainly see where it comes from. Like you say, you don't, maybe you're not born with the most kind of most symmetrical, aesthetic, facially striking features. And Daniel Craig's perhaps a good example. Obviously, now the listeners will find it quite hard to view him as anything other than this really handsome, striking actor who's James Bond. But I think you're absolutely right. A lot of where his attraction and handsomeness comes from, like you say, is clean-cut style. So he's got a clean haircut. He's well-kept and well-groomed. He is extremely confident, and he speaks and delivers himself in a way that he shows self-assurance, which radiates. And then, like you said, he's well-dressed. I think one of the photos on your site is him in a kind of casual blue polo shirt and some kind of cream or white chinos. And he just looks very fashionable, but it's extremely plain, simple clothing. It's nothing extravagant. It's not complex, but he does it so well that he comes across as extremely handsome and likely attractive to the fairer sex, which is obviously what a lot of us would deem how handsome somebody is. And I guess that's where I think many people can think of examples of people who maybe are in their friendship circle or they went to school with, university, college, or work with, who are deemed very attractive by females, but you maybe see their face and you think, oh, well, I don't think he's actually that good looking, but he ticks these other boxes with respect to style, grooming, and he's got maybe a clean haircut or maybe a well-formed bit of facial hair. And he just, a Woods confidence, which makes him in that arena as a handsome man, Manny.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, yeah.
Quite funny. And I guess one of the things I mentioned there was around facial hair. What role do you think that plays nowadays? Because it's so fashionable to have
Yeah. I mean, I've actually written an article on this as well. I mean, it can be a dynamic. It could be a very important thing for a lot of guys because, I mean, not only is it a secondary sexual characteristic for a reason, you know, it's a very masculine look, but it can also strengthen your jawline, strengthen your chin, fill that out. Let's say you're losing your hair and you're bald, it'll add some more contrast to your face. So your face doesn't just blend into your head kind of thing. So it can also be used as a sort of an accessory. You see guys with the clean cut suits and the refined looks, and then they have this beard that's kind of more rugged. So you got that balance and the interplay between those two aesthetics as well. So they've just, over the last 10 years, they've really come back and, it looks like they're going to probably stay for a little while anyways. And if you're a guy who can actually grow a beard, you're fortunate enough with genetics that can produce a nice beard, it's worth experimenting with. And it might not be a full, big, thick, bushy beard. It might just be something like a 5 o'clock shadow or a little bit of stubble just to give some definition to your face and give a little bit of contrast. It's worth experimenting with for sure.
Certainly, and I think it plays a role in that handsome piece when it comes to that self-assured piece as a kind of masculine man, having that element of a stronger looking jaw, that contrast with maybe if you do have a bald head as well, then there's a lot within that. But equally, like you say, it's that kind of shadow in the face as well. It doesn't necessarily have to be the full blown beard. I certainly know I would be up shit creek without a paddle if it was to go a full beard, but I certainly know that my jaw looks more prominent and I perhaps look older, which is obviously a thing in the corporate environment. As a young executive, I want to look mature and able to speak to, and I've got quite a baby face, so I like to make sure that I've maybe got a little bit of shadow and stubble, and equally massive cost saving over time on razors as well.
Oh, totally, yeah, that's cost savings and time savings, right, in the mornings and stuff. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we don't have to maintain it quite as much, which is helpful. I think that's been a hugely helpful conversation, Manny. One of the kind of final areas I wanted to delve into was just your mindset on self improvement as somebody that is very invested in building a good physique, but also looking well and well styled. You are clearly somebody that's focused in that area alongside having a platform that you've built up over the years and that kind of really prominent side hustle that you clearly care about. And I imagine within that, self-improvement and self-development has played a role. And ultimately, that's what a lot of people listen to this podcast for, ways that they can build themselves up and be the best version of themselves. What has been a key factor in that for you?
For me, I just think back to a quote that I had shared, and I can't even really remember where I came across it, but kind of a formula, the way I think about it is, you know, you look good in order to feel good. And when you feel good, you can produce good results. And that's kind of the way I think about this whole, you know, aesthetics, style, fitness kind of game. It's not, you know, people go, what's the point of, you know, looking good? Like, what's the end goal here? And to me, it's about leverage, right? You have other ambitions, other goals that are more important than just looking good. And you're using that tool to help you obtain some other goals and ambitions that you have in your life. And just the knock-on effects of improving your style and your fitness, the way you feel about yourself, it's, you know, you can't underestimate that, because that's kind of where you can draw upon a lot of confidence in yourself and, you know, your self-esteem in order to go and meet those challenges in the world, right? So for me, that's the way I think about it, is it's okay to have a little bit of pride in the way you look. It'll improve your mindset and it'll help you go on and tackle some of those other big challenges that you have in your life.
That resonates really strongly. And I think where you caveat it with, yes, it's important to look good, and it's not necessarily shallow to place a lot of importance in how you feel and project yourself on looking good and being well styled and having a developed physique, because it's all about the processes that you put into that in terms of your commitment to your training, your commitment to your diet, your commitment to choosing the right clothes and the right styles. It's all healthy. It's not coming from a place of I'm not worthy if I'm not in good shape. It's a case of I'm fueling myself to be the best version of me. And many people that are listening to this are fitness fanatics and very interested in their appearance. They will resonate with that idea that in order to be my best self, I have to tick some other boxes that maybe mean that I'm my best mental self rather than it coming yes. from an unhealthy place.
Yes, for sure. And I think, you know, I totally agree with that. It's, you know, it's a form of self-love, really, you know, that, you know, let's put it this way. When someone is depressed, what's the first thing that you notice about them? Well, their appearance is disheveled, right? They don't have the motivation to, you know, shower and take care of themselves. So, you know, the militaries of the world know that appearance and your comportment, that is very important because it instills that sense of pride and discipline in yourself, right? And, you know, taking the extra time to, you know, improve your style and your grooming and these sorts of things, it's a form of self-care, right? And that's what's going to help you and carry you as you move on in your life and you go on and tackle other projects and goals and stuff.
Yeah, that's an excellent term to use, self-care, because I think some people think self-care means sitting in the sofa with the dominoes watching Netflix back to back. And that's maybe a form of self-care in terms of pacifying things that are going on in your head. But maybe the best form of self-care is making yourself a more valuable asset to your family, your friends, or your employer, but also making yourself more comfortable in who you are, Manny. And that certainly speaks to me. I guess the other thing within that conversation would be, were there any particular sources that really resonated with you over the years to help you develop this mindset?
You know, I there's so many books I've read over the years that you know, that have had a huge impact on me. And, you know, one book that I always seem to recommend the most or tell people to read is Watch My Back by Jeff Thompson. It's a fantastic book and I highly recommend, you know, you read it. The story in it is incredible. This guy basically, you know, he's in his mid-20s and he is, you know, depressed and his life is in shambles. He's living with a lot of fear in his life. And, he basically resolves to take those fears head on and conquer them one by one. And I think one of his biggest fears was physical confrontation. He ends up becoming like a bouncer in one of the most dangerous cities, I think at that time in the UK for like 10 years. And he ends up writing this book and becomes a BAFTA winning filmmaker. All this amazing stuff happens to him, but he starts from very, very humble beginnings. And you see his mindset grow and change. And he gives a lot of really detailed advice in the book on how he handled a lot of the emotions and things that he was going through throughout his whole journey. So I highly recommend grabbing that book because it had a huge impact on me when I read it. Like, I think I was maybe in my mid-20s or something like that. Huge impact on me. And I really, you know, it's a book that I turn to quite a bit. And I, you know, I'll read certain passages out of it, or he's written a bunch of other books which I've read as well, but that one in particular really resonated with me, and I recommend guys check that one out for sure.
I love when somebody comes on and recommends something that I've not read before myself, because from a selfish perspective, I'll look to dive into that. And I think nothing gives it a stronger endorsement than the fact that you've gone on to reread it at times and delve back into it, but also read other books by that author as well. And
yes.
I like that you say, obviously, sometimes it's not always helpful when somebody's, when we ourselves haven't experienced that level of struggle, maybe the kind of shambles his life was, but equally it's motivational. It gives us perspective that somebody has gone from that to where they are now, but also the, maybe the steps that they took, because we can scale that to maybe the size of our own problems and the challenges we face. So my challenge might not be the level of challenge that Jeff Thompson faced in his mid-20s, but I can certainly apply his mindset and his approach to betterment to maybe the smaller scale challenges that I've encountered that are big for me but small compared to him. And I really like that message, Manny.
Absolutely. And I'm on the same page with that. I think that's what I, you know, take as inspiration from that book is, you know, he came from very humble beginnings. He had a lot of challenges and look how far he was able to go. You know, I don't have necessarily the same amount of challenges in my life, but if I can even just, you know, take 10% or 20% of what he's done there and apply that to my life, I mean, who knows where I'll go, right? Because I've got certain advantages that he didn't have. And that's the kind of inspiration I take from books like that. And that one in particular is, you know, there's people out there that are in, you know, very tough, you know, situations, and you know, they're able to get themselves out of that. And it's incredibly inspiring, and it gives you perspective on your own life as well, and the challenges that you face.
That's such a key term you've used there, perspective. And that's one of the reasons that one of my favorite books is Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it's the same idea. What he faced was so terrible. And likewise, Jeff's experience would be worse than the vast majority of people who are fortunate enough to be able to listen to a podcast on Apple or Spotify and kind of move themselves forward. So we can certainly learn from these people. And I'll be sure to link that one in the show notes as an Amazon book. And I guess one of the other reasons that I guess that story is resonating with what we're discussing today, Manny, is that you're somebody that is completely relatable and quote unquote normal. You've got a wife and kids, you're into your fitness, you have a full-time job, but you're creating content. But you're somebody who has used important sources and built fantastic habits to put himself in a position where he has this fantastic side hustle, which he's passionate about, but also is a kind of a side stream of enjoyment and income for him. And I think that's why I was so keen to have you on as a guest.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on, Colin. I really appreciate it. I haven't done too many interviews myself, but I'm enjoying just the ability to share just some insight and just have a conversation about these kinds of things, because I learn something as well every time I have a conversation like this. And I'm just glad that you're able to have me on as a guest. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a really valuable chat, and I'm sure the listeners will maybe have reinforced some things they already knew, will have learned some new things with regards to their style. And if you're still with us at this point, please pop a screenshot on your Instagram story, tag Manny, tag myself. We can't wait for your feedback. And Manny, the last thing I'll ask you is, where is the best place for people to connect with you?
Yeah, you can connect with me. My main social media is Twitter. I'm at WellBuiltStyle. Website with the same name. I'm on Instagram as well, same at WellBuiltStyle. I'm not as active on that platform, but if you want to get in touch with me, jump on Twitter and you know, feel free to shoot me a DM if you have a style question or anything like that, and I'll be happy to help you out.
Fantastic. Hope everyone's enjoyed listening to that one. Please make sure you're sharing it on Instagram. Share it with a friend that needs to dress better, even though he's got great biceps. And I'll be back to speak to you all again very, very soon.